and saw his own cynicism at the Baron's words reflected back at him. As for Doc, well, Doc was off in a land that only Doc knew.
I don't buy the dream bit. I never met a Baron yet who didn't place Jack, good trade in his own skin, before a dream. But I'll grant you need some action. Question is, what?
Baron Silas rose to his feet and walked over to one of the ironwork-covered windows and looked out on Salvation, with his hands clasped behind his back.
You have any idea why the people from the Villas would put all this at risk?
Because it isn't theirs. Salvation isn't theirs, no matter where any Baron sends them. And no matter what they're supposed to be doing, there's no way they're going to be happy living and working close to those who've been their enemy for so long, not without the chance to hit back.
So why not just fight each other? Yeah, we've had a few barn gaudy brawls between different Vill folk, but that's all. Why attack the project?
I suspect, my dear sir, that you already have an answer for that, but wish to see if we are smart enough to work that out. I would assume, from what you have said, that the camps with the workers are located in close proximity to each other at the site of the well and resurrected refinery.
When Baron Silas confirmed this with the briefest of nods, Doc continued.
Then it would be reasonable to assume that they have, if not so originally placed, then certainly gravitated into groups concomitant with their place of origin.
The Baron turned and gave Doc a quizzical look.
Let me clarify. They are in groups, like miniature versions of their vills. And indeed, they are working on their own tasks in these groups.
Baron Silas nodded in understanding.
It made more sense to keep them like that.
Pipe! I got it, Doc! Crow said something about big jack bonuses for getting work done on time. Maybe the different vills are trying to screw up each other's chances.
Stoop behavior. Longer work take, less jack all round.
Maybe. But they probably wouldn't think that far ahead. People don't when they're faced with their own prejudices. Some things haven't changed through history, no matter what.
Baron Silas returned to his position at the head of the table, but remained standing, leaning on the table with his knuckles and looking them over.
I needed something different and quick. And you came out of the desert like the answer to a man's prayers. Make no mistake, I would have had you chilled at any other time, because you would have gotten away. But Crow had a feeling you could come good. And so we let the workers rag you, see what you did without any weapons. You got chilled and too bad. But you didn't. You did good. Real good. And you're just what I need.
So what's the deal?
The deal is this. You get your blasters and other weapons back, and you become my elite secmen, patrolling the camp, well, and refinery until the project is complete. I figure you could whip those bastards in a line without too many problems. All you have to do is stop them blowing each other and the project to hell. Shouldn't be too hard.
And then?
Then you leave, with a jack bonus. You do me right, I do you right.
Ryan looked at the man. His every instinct told him that Baron Silas Hunter was a ruthless, single-minded baron. And yet his coldness was such that he would be the worst liar Ryan had ever met.
Why don't you trust your own sec?
I trust them, but I know from experience they can't handle it. Too many other duties. Besides, they've been too involved. You're harder, and you come from outside with a fresh eye. No offense.
Ryan ignored the crack. Either heavy humor or an insult to establish superiority. It wasn't worth the trouble either way.
We'll discuss it.
Silas walked the length of the hall to the door in silence. It was only when he was about to close the doors and leave them alone that he looked back over his shoulder at the outlanders.
Not much to discuss, but I'll give you some time.
When he had closed the door, Mildred sat back and blew out her cheeks, tossing her plaits around her head.
Shit, what have we gotten ourselves into?
What have I got you into, you mean?
No, you just did what was right at the time. I just don't like the looks of it.
Ryan stroked his chin.
Yeah, maybe you've got a point there. It's not a good position, but we've been in worse.
There's no immediate danger, but it's going to be hard to get through this. We're walking into what amounts to a Vill war where everyone's really within hitting distance.
And on top of that, we're going to be sitting on top of a fuel dump that could literally blow beneath us.
Thanks for reminding me.
Problem is, we needed to give up our blasters to get food and water. And the chances of us getting better supplies depend on us going along with Crow. Maybe we could come out of this with some jack to trade with.
That's if we can trust Silas.
I think we can. He's hard and mean, all right. That type doesn't usually lie. He'd enjoy it too much to tell you what he was going to do to you. He's put us in a shitty position as it is. There's no need for him to be hiding anything. Besides which, if we don't play ball, we don't get our weapons back.
That's his winning hand.
The armorer pushed his fedora back on his forehead and scratched.
Way I see it is this. If we agree, then Baron Silas Hunter gets his extra sec force. If we fuck up, then he blames us and chills us. If we come good, he gets credit and glory in front of the other barons. In return, we get our weapons back, put ourselves on the line, and maybe come out of it to the good. But he knows we've got no other option. After all, here we are in the middle of his house, surrounded by his sect people, and in the middle of his ville, which is heavily walled. We could maybe get so far, but get right out of here in one piece, unarmed?
The armorer shook his head and pushed his spectacles up to his nose. There was a moment's silence. For J.B. Dix to make such a long speech was rare, but in the circumstances, he had articulated the thoughts of everyone on the subject.
Shit. I ain't happy about this, but I guess J.B.'s right.
Ryan nodded.
Then we do it.
They all assented, albeit reluctantly in some cases. Ryan strode to the double doors and flung them open. Baron Silas was waiting outside, leaning against the wall with his Stetson hat pulled down over his eyes. He didn't even give Ryan a chance to speak.
I knew you'd agree.
Baron Silas Hunter led the companions down through the levels of the building until he reached the basement. Each floor, from what they could glimpse on their way down, was stuffed full of pre-dark treasures, both in terms of furniture and art. Certainly, Doc and Mildred, whose existence in the days before Skydark gave them a better knowledge of such things, got the impression that Silas Hunter, for all his seemingly bluff approach, had a side that relished the finer things of the pre-dark age. And even though these items had little value in the new age compared to essentials like fuel, food, and water, those whose business was to trade still knew of select markets that would pay good jack for such things. All of which added up to an expensive habit that Baron Silas had to feed. It was no wonder that he was keen to stamp out the sabotage to his well and refinery. JB and Ryan were busy making observations as they descended the staircase from the ground floor to the lower level, and then through a less ostentatious room to a smaller, plainer stair that led to the basement.
Notice how all the sec men here are kept out of the way?
Yeah. Unless I'd seen those sec men earlier, I'd wonder if he had any at all.
So where does he keep them? And how do they know when they're wanted?
No sooner had the question died on his lips than the answer became apparent. The Baron opened a small door that sat at the foot of the staircase, which wasn't entirely lit by artificial light, as they had descended below ground level. The old light fittings of the house down here were powered by a generator that ran through the light ring circuit with a gentle pulse, causing the slightest flicker of the light. It cast a sinister shadow over the Baron's features as he turned and smiled his peculiarly humorless grimace at them.
Welcome to my nerve center.
He then opened the door and ushered them inside. Dean, the last one to enter, let out a whistle that was long and low.
Hot pipe, this is some setup.
For the room, with two doors leading off at the far end, seemed to run the length of the building and housed the sec for the baronial palace. 12 armed sec men, all heavily muscled, milled about the room. Some were talking amongst themselves, two were ready at each door to move on command, and the rest were either stationed at, or observing casually, the bank of monitors that ran along the wall.
Like most of these old pre-dark places, this must have been used as some kind of local sec building, and I picked this as my dwelling and nerve center because of that. It's built to be almost impregnable, and once I got the metalwork in place, it was virtually impossible to get in without being seen. Which brings me to this.
He moved in front of the monitor systems, the screens of which all had a slight shimmer that ran in sync with the pulsing light, and presumably the pulsing of the generator.
This is my secret weapon when I'm here. This makes the place about as safe as you can get. All of this was in place when I took over the building. Lord alone knows what they did here before the new cost, but it must have been pretty damn important. And they must have liked to spy on whoever was here, because when I first saw this, I wondered where the hell the cameras for these were. Shit, some of them are so well hidden in the rooms that it took me hours to find them, even trying to work it out from what I could see. First thing I did was get a generator fired up and get some good old boys in here to take a look at what we had. It's a good system, and we're fucked if it ever breaks down, because no one hereabouts has ever come across one like it. But it works.
Baron Silas moved away from the monitors and stood in the middle of the dimly lit hall that stretched under the building's length.
It means that I can keep my eye on anything that goes on in here, and listen into anything, because those cameras have got microphones on them, too.
He paused to